Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you.
And welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you are listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, where every day is, frankly, not just an adventure, but it is a wild, wild ride. And today, I'm bringing you a story that you've never heard before and you might never hear again. And we've got Sharon Alters on the show. Sharon, thank you for joining us on the show.
Oh, you're welcome, Lee. Good to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
So I wish you would please tell all of our amazing listeners where you're located, how long you've been in the business, any tidbits they should know about you.
Sure. I live in the Jacksonville, Florida area. And I've been in the business for 18 years. I am a second generation realtor. My dad started in residential and became a developer. And I met my husband when I was living in Atlanta as a film producer. And we got married and moved back here. And I got into real estate. And I love it. And now our daughter has joined our team. So now we have three generations.
Oh, that's awesome. Because I told my daughter she has to get licensed one day, even if she never gets in, just to carry on the family real estate name. And you are smart to do it.
Exactly. Well, she loves it. She's a natural. I mean, she's already being super, super helpful. And she's only been with us like a couple of weeks. But she's had her license for 4 years. And she's worked for a builder. So she's experienced.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so 18 years in the business, we're real estate twins going back to the turn of the century, because I love saying that because it makes me feel like I look really young for my age. So you two go back to the turn of the century. So you've seen a lot in 18 years, good markets, the worst, awful, terrible market, and improving markets. So I'd love to know what was crazy enough to stand out and what have to be a crowded field of standouts.
About 2011, a friend of mine who was connected with a really big bank asked me if I wanted to do foreclosures. And, you know, the market was terrible. So I was like, well, sure, because we were already doing a lot of short sales. And this happened to me about a year in. We did sales in the area and I got one that was a farm. It was a small farm and it had two houses. And my husband and I drove there one Sunday afternoon and we found the one house that was on the road, but we didn't see the other house. So I had a guy, you know, I got a guy who did everything. He did my trash outs, my repairs. And so I said, Gene, we need to do a rekey on this property. Can you go down there and can you find the second house? And so he said, sure. So he went down there the next day. And this is one of those moments, you know, like 2001, 9/11, you know where you were.
I was in the car with buyers and they did not buy a house because they were from New York. I'll never forget that.
I'll never forget where I was. I was in my chiropractor's office walking down the hall and Gene called and I thought, well, I better answer because he's down at this little farm. And so I answered the phone and Gene said, Sharon. And I said, yes. And he said, are you sitting down? And I said, no, but I can be. And he said, okay. And he said, I walked into their little office away from people and he said, there are horses. And I said, oh, there are horses. It's a farm. And he said, no, in the house. And I said, what? There are horses living in this house. These people, the second house, which was back in the woods, they had taken the doors off. They had taken the windows out and turned the house into a barn. They took a people house. They had lost a foreclosure and they took off the doors, took off the hinges. They literally took out the frames of the took out the windows. So it was like a barn and left it for horses and had like a walkway, you know, like a ramp up and down so the horses could get in and out of the house. And they were living in the house and they'd been living in it for over a year and a half, peeing and pooping in it. Okay.
Well, I mean, nobody told them it wasn't their house, so I can't even blame the horses.
Oh, I don't blame the horses at all. I mean, but I mean, you know, that was just not something we expected to find. Right. So, so we go to the house and there's no saving this house. Literally, this house had to be torn down. And it cost over $20,000 to tear it down because it was out in the middle of nowhere and it had a concrete driveway and a pole barn. By the way, did you know that when houses are in the country, they get really stripped down everything? Like this pole barn was stripped down to the poles, like they'd taken everything off.
Oh, I was thinking stripped down in a whole different context. And so you mean like people came in and helped themselves to the house?
Yeah, they helped themselves to all the materials in the barn. And
there was nobody to use it since the horses got evicted. So,
well, that's true. Well, the horses, well, here's the other story about the horses. The bank, being very practical, told me to turn the horses into the SPCA. But me, I wasn't good at being an animal lover. I was like, no. Because I know what happens to horses. Because at that time, our daughter-in-law was working there and they were having trouble placing horses. So many people couldn't feed their horses. So anyway, I tracked down the original owners and they moved them. I also found there were people who'd been feeding them because the owners hadn't been feeding them. And the bank, this is, you know, you think banks are not always great, but they actually reimbursed the people who'd been feeding the horses.
Okay, that's really awesome.
Isn't it? Yeah. It really was. This was a really good bank. They did really the right thing when I worked for them. Yeah, it was really kind of crazy to get a phone call and say that there were horses living in the house. And we took lots of pictures of it because nobody would ever believe us.
I mean, we know in dealing with horse people in real estate, they often do things for the horses they wouldn't do for themselves. But I got to say, this is the first time I've heard of the horses getting the house.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah, the horses did get the house. They did. It was just crazy. Yeah. Well, the barn was stripped down, so they didn't have a barn anymore. They'd taken everything but the poles in the barn. So they had to live in the house.
I mean.
Yeah, it was back in the woods, so you couldn't see it from the road. I mean, you'd never know it was back there. You'd never know they were back there either. So
how did you find somebody to buy this house knowing it was pretty much a demo project?
Well, actually, the bank demoed it. That's how we sold it. The bank demoed that house, and because it had two houses, the one up in front, we sold the farm. We actually sold it to a guy across the street who bought it for his daughter, and he paid cash for it.
That's the happy ending of the property, frankly, is that as a professional realtor, sometimes your job is just to hold the wheels on the bus until it gets handled, and then the neighbor emerges to be the knight on the white horse, so to speak, and swoop in and save it.
Yeah, he did. I mean, and I'm sure he restored it because it had been obviously neglected. The fields were all overgrown, but it was a pretty property. It had a little creek running through it. It was very pretty.
So the question from my standpoint is, did that encourage you to want to work more bank-owned properties because you got to have the adrenaline rush of something you hadn't seen before? Because it is a rush.
Oh, it's totally a rush. Well, yeah, I'd already been doing it about a year. And sure, it did, because you actually help people out. I mean, you help people get into houses they otherwise couldn't get into, because at that time, the banks were discounting the prices still. They're not doing that now, but you could get a really good deal. I had another house that was my second foreclosure. This one was, I'm sure you've heard this story in some form before, but I got a notice of eviction to evict a family on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And I made an executive decision that there was no way that I was going to evict anybody on Christmas Eve. I mean, that just wasn't going to happen on my watch. So I waited until 2 days after Christmas, and I went to the house, knocked on the door, and they were there, and they opened the door like very, you know, like just so they could barely see me, and said, oh, and I said, you know, here, you know, the house has been foreclosed. And then on went the saga of sob stories about, which was probably true, that they didn't have a job and they were moving back to Ohio and they needed a couple of months to move out. And so I talked to the bank and they agreed to wait until February. And they also even gave them money to move. And so we went back to the house with the sheriff the day they were supposed to move out. And we're standing out there and it looks like they're still there. And so the sheriff knocked on the door, and sure enough, they hadn't moved. And he went in the house and he turned around and came out and said, no, they're not gone. So I called the bank and said, oh my gosh, they're not gone. And so the bank gave him 24 hours to be out. It's like, you be out or we're putting your stuff on the street. We went away, came back the next day. They were gone. There were some pieces of furniture in the yard, but they were out. So we opened the door and went into the house. And oh my gosh, Lee, these people were hoarders. We went out on the back porch, which ran all the way along. There was stuff up to the ceiling and there was a shed out back. And when we opened the door to that, things fell out. It was so full. It was just crazy. We hauled off over a ton of stuff that couldn't be used. We gave away furniture, anything that could be used. We gave away to ministries, you know, to help homeless people and people like that. But yeah.
And I got to tell you, if you're a normal person listening to this podcast, you might not know that when we as realtors go to the house to do what's called the trash out, which is what Sharon's describing here, where you're taking the stuff out of the house so we can see the house,
yep.
They ask us for the yard sale value on a house. And it is entirely possible and commonplace for there to be an entire metric ton of stuff in a house that has zero yard sale value. And it's something you have to see to believe, but frankly, it's why when you hear about a bank giving somebody that kind of extra time, the bank was being extra, extra gracious and forgiving. So
they were.
I really didn't expect you to say they had left. I thought you were going to say they were digging in their heels, but instead, all you wound up with was an expensive trash out.
Very expensive trash out. And termites to boot. It also had termites, and we had to fix that. So,
well, you know, they do love some trash laid around the house, people.
They do.
The termite buffet, if you can't see the floor, the termites can. They will make it for you.
They will, and they did. They were all on the walls. So, but yeah, those are my two craziest real estate stories. I mean, and it was with foreclosures. And then after about a year and a half, I had had enough of it, and I couldn't do it anymore.
See, and I still love my foreclosures because even in a good market, there's always somebody not paying the bills. And they mean, it's just always something new and keeps you excited, frankly.
It does. They are excited. They're fun. I enjoyed them while it lasted. But it was interesting for sure.
And I will say, though, if you're listening to this, you may have a perception of banks from the recessionary years that is less than flattering, but it's not the bank's fault in many instances when somebody gets foreclosed on, because they do give a lot of grace. They give a lot of time frames. Not every bank behaves and not every homeowner is at fault. But a lot of times there's a lot of circumstances that a professional realtor has to be the one who says, all right, let's all keep our heads calm and cool and collected. And you actually leaned into the grace-filled side of real estate when you did not go up to that house on Christmas Eve because they knew you were coming. I mean, it was no surprise. You didn't ruin the last little happy moment there because Christmas Eve is happy for most people.
Right.
And then the bank actually listened to you. So, I mean, if you're out there buying a house or selling a house, this is the kind of realtor you want who's going to pay attention to all the factors at play and then have a conversation on your behalf, but still get the job done, because you can't just give people rope forever because eventually they will hang themselves. And we know that's how it works, but
it was, I mean, they didn't, it was time for them to leave and the bank to get the property liquidated. But yeah, they were a really good bank. I mean, they fixed other houses. I mean, they did repairs that a lot of other banks wouldn't do. I was very happy working with this bank.
All right. So we know that most of y'all, when you're dealing in real estate, are not going to have horses in the house actually, you're more likely to see hoarders than horses. I think we should call this Hoarders and Horses as an episode title, frankly. Hey, staff, take note of that. Hoarders and Horses. But if you're looking for an amazing realtor in the Jacksonville area, Sharon, how can they reach you if they'd like to have a chit chat about real estate stuff?
Well, we would love to talk to them. I work with my husband and our daughter, so there are three of us. And my cell number is area 904-673-2308. And my email is Sharon, and that's Sharon at team, like a baseball team, and our last name, which is Alters, Alters.com. Team
Alters. We can alter your situation for the better. Oh, there's so many good marketing slogans you could be using with that name.
Yeah, I know it is. It does have a lot of possibilities.
Sharon alters the outcome. I mean, you should really be having fun with this, but that's okay because realtor and consumer friends, I know y'all were just listening to this and you weren't writing anything down, but it's cool because all of Sharon's information is in the show notes for this episode. So make sure you contact that team for all of your real estate needs. Sharon, thank you so much for coming on the show and for frankly telling me something I've never heard before and I doubt I'll ever hear again.
You're welcome, Lee. You have a great day. Thanks for inviting me.
And if you're a broker, investor, inspector, lender, realtor, or just a normal person and you've had your own crazy dealings in real estate, hit me at Lee Brown on Twitter or any of the social networks to be featured in a future episode of the podcast. And always remember to subscribe for more because you never know what you're going to hear. And we'll see you next time.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.